I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Turn with me to this 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Here in this chapter, we have the darkest picture ever drawn on the canvas of history. It was drawn about the dark shadow, the awful death and suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So terrible was that dark and awful place that day, that the sun, although it was only about 9 o'clock in the morning, it refused to shine. The sun, the natural light of the world, was dark. And light disappeared. And the world was plunged from early morning light into the blackest night. Our memories go back to that hymn that we used to sing as a child in Sabbath school. Well may the sun in darkness hide and shut her glory in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to take away my sin. May God give us today, as we come again to the cross, may he give us some little understanding of what that darkness was all about. What a dark picture it is. There's nothing to attract the eye, for no light is available, and all men around are blind. There's no beauty there, for the wings of this situation has carried all beauty away. And there only prevailed darkness and death. I was looking this past week at this chapter again. I noticed there were 10 great negatives in this chapter. First of all, there was no reflections upon what was happened. God the Son didn't say, I'll finish this now. This was going to be a finished work. Every dot of prophecy in this book. Every promise of prophecy in this book. Every act of the Son of God in His offering for sin written already in this book were all to be fulfilled. It mattered not whether the sun shone or whether it didn't shine. It mattered not what terrible expressions came from the blaspheming tongues of the priests and the soldiers. It mattered not what this circumstance is held forth that day outside the city wall. Was one thing, there was no beauty there. Beauty had fled. It was all ugliness. There was no attraction there. It was a scene that made people sick. It was a scene that was impressed upon them forever. And there was no fresh estimation available. There was no reflections there. It was all bitter reality. And how bitter it was. But how bitter it was for the one who held the chalice and took the wine of punishment and damnation for you and for me. Just think about it. There was no, secondly, reaction there. Turn with me to chapter 53, please, in your Bible, and you will notice that there's no thought of reaction or resistance from the Son of God. The blackness of darkness had to be. He could have said to the Son, for He made it, shine on, lighten up the candles, let's have light and not darkness. But no, there was no reaction. It was the blackness of darkness. There was that day a sunrise that finished before midday. And the sun did not rise again that day. Darkness and the shadow and the reality of death. And when we come to verse 4, we see that there was no reassessment there. But Christ did not reassess the situation. That God did not change His eternal program and His everlasting covenant. It must be. There can be at the cross. God saw to that no reaction. At the cross, no reassessment. At the cross, no reconsideration. Stripes were left to bleed, and they bled. The face that had been defaced by the punches of the filthy fists of a drunken horde of the centurion soldiers, they were left to curse and to abuse the blessed Son of God. And His wounding Look at it. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. Every transgression you ever committed brought a wound to the body of the Son of God. How many times did your transgressions wound Christ upon the cross? Just think about it. But Christ did not reconsider the situation. No, it was to be carried out as his Father had commanded it. And there in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. No reassessment, no reconsideration, no reconciliation. The cross must be done to the standard of the unchanging commandment of the thrice whole Jehovah. Every stripe must be made on the body of Christ. Every pain to pay an eternity of hell, fire's damnation, must be paid for by the wreathing body of the Son of God. I invite you to come with me and stand at the cross today and listen to it. He was wounded for our transgression. Oh, the wounding of the Son of God. Oh, the tearing of his skin. Oh, the bashing of his being. And added to the bashing and the tears and the bitterness was the woe of Christ over sinners. Because he was at that cross for you, and he was at that cross for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He died to set me free. Oh, the bleeding lamb! Oh, the bleeding lamb! Oh, the bleeding lamb! He I look on to verse 7, and when I come to verse 7, I see there's no rethinking of his position. There's no turning back to that to which his hand had been put. It tells me there that he was oppressed and he was afflicted. And what was his reply? Silence. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Not he himself, for Christ was speechless in the midst of his terrible agonies and his sin atoning sacrifice and the blood as it flowed from his veins. No, he didn't rethink it. He didn't reply to it. He suffered, he bled, and he died alone. There was no attempt to retrace his steps, to turn his back on the cross, to let all mankind be damned, and they deserved to be damned. All generations to go to a hell multiplied and multiplying. No. There was a man on the cross, the God-man, and he paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord Jesus, I thank you from the depths of my heart that you didn't react. You didn't reassess. You didn't reconsider. You didn't rethink. You didn't reply. You didn't retrace. You didn't retreat. No. You gave your life a ransom for the many. And I stand under that cross today. And his voice is not heard. His mouth is not opened. There is no resistance from that body, which he could have immediately brought to his assistance. He could have called the legions of the house guards of heaven, the angels, to meet with him. But no, he was silent. If he hadn't have been silent, you would have been a damned soul forever. There would have been no atonement. There would have been no freedom bought for you. No sinlessness would have been the joy of your heart. No thanksgiving would have escaped your lips for a full atonement. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He paid it all. Not a sin unanswered. Not a filthy thought unatoned for. Not a dark, hellish stain not blotted out. All complete. All complete because Christ did not rethink. He did not retrace. And praise God, he did not retreat. He stood there, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Oh, the wonder of it. Its very silence speaks golden words. Every pang was the stroke of a pen. And another sin answered for and fully washed away to be seen no more in time or at death or at in eternity. His last word was finished, and the work was done. No reshaping of the battlefield. No retreat engaged in. He had sufficiently finished the work. Listen, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no vileness, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And then we read these startling words. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The crack of the whip on the trembling shoulders of my blessed Lord. The tearing of his skin and the mangling of his flesh. Listen to what it says. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. There was a cross on the hillside of Golgotha, and Christ hung upon that cross. But there was a cross in heaven. And God the Father had a cross in his heart when he had to take pleasure in the bruising of his Son. Listen. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Only the Spirit of God would dare to write such a word, that the Father was pleased to bruise his Son until he was but a lump of awful bleeding flesh. He did it. Thank God, he did it for me, and he did it for you. Oh, blessed Son, we adore thee for hanging on the cross. But oh, blessed Father, we love thee for giving thy Son, and thou thyself taking pleasure in his punishment, because every pang brought a soul from hell to heaven. And every soul that was brought was given by the Father to his Son. Doesn't it tell us that? Doesn't it tell us that he prolonged his Son's days, that the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand? And that which Satan thought would be the finish of the Godhead, and that which Satan planned to use as a weapon for the destruction of the Holy Three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, became the victory of all victories, the battle of all battles, the glorious shout of all shouts. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And then God said to him, I'm going to, my dear son, show you something. Father, what will you show me? You shall see of the travail of your soul. Listen. And you will be satisfied. The Christ who died on Calvary was not only a sacrificed Savior, praise God, he was a satisfied Savior. And he brought from the tomb that day a great multitude which no man can number. What a shout at heaven's gates as he brought them through to the pearly city of God. But what a greater shout there will be when this whole universe is wound up forever and we step from the darkness of sin to the stainless light of God's everlasting heaven. And we walk up and down the golden streets of the New Jerusalem. What will we be singing about? What I have been talking to you about today. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't this Savior deserve our love? Doesn't this Savior deserve all our heart? Doesn't this Savior deserve and is rightly to demand all that we can give him? I love the last verse of this chapter. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because, what's the reason of it? Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. I cannot wait, my brother. I cannot wait, my sister, until I step out of the darkness of this world into the golden city of God. And what a day that will be when I'll feel the feet that were nailed to the cross. When I touch the scar of the spear wound in his side. When I look up and see him as he is and tell the story, saved by grace. What a day. Dear unsaved one, you think the world's a great place. You think its pleasures are great. Its sins are great. Its crowds are great. They're worthless. They're not real seed. They're only chaff. And soon shall they haste away. And all you will have the husks of a life of sin for all eternity. But you today can come into Christ. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You came into this church without Christ. You can go out in his company forever. I would say to you, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for thy holy word, and for the joy that it brings to our soul, that someday, face to face, we'll tell you that we love thee. But we love thee because thou first loved us and gave thyself for us. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen.